Over quorum.
We are over quorum. I like it.
All right, we might as well work then. All right, bring the meeting to order and I welcome you to the October 18th, 2024 meeting of the Arizona Barber and Cosmetology Board and invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance. Pledge allegiance. Thank you. Thank you. For our roll call.
All right, we'll do the roll call for board members present in our Gary Bedney.
Here.
Marshall Knox.
Present.
Randy Flores. Trista Guthrie Weber.
Here.
Nick Goodman.
Present.
Brandon McFadden.
Present.
Chase Turnpike.
Present.
Tracy Williamson.
Here.
Board staff members, we have Ray from the gallery.
Present.
Kelly Sever.
Present.
Heather Santabria.
Present virtually.
Myself, Jessica Ferrandez. Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Jessica Wilson.
Present.
Lakeisha Coleman.
Present.
Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
Alexandra Hill. Lisa Chavez.
Here.
And outside we have Amelia Heredia. And then for legal counsel present too, we have Mark Barrett.
All right, it's a good day. Next item up is the awareness that the board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personal matters pursuant to ARS 38431.03A1 or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3. Now we're going to go to the discussion consideration possible action on the approval of the regular board minutes from our last meeting. Do we have a motion regarding that?
Chris Montgomery moved that we approve regular board meeting from the September 20 meeting.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Do we have any conflicts of interest from any other board members regarding any cases today? Hearing none, I assume that is not a factor. Now, we'd like to do the most important part of the meeting. We'd like to welcome the barbering and cosmetology students and instructors that came to see us today, and we appreciate your support. Another one just walked in, so would you introduce yourself, sir?
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm Brandon Hugh. I am the member of the Academy of Health Technology in Phoenix and the current enrollment of the health technology.
Can't claim the others now, you know, tip your own. What other schools do we have here today?
Hi, we're with Penrose Academy.
There you go. That was a good idea.
Gateway Community College.
I appreciate you guys.
I'm the former staff officer.
Very nice.
Studio family.
Well, we got everybody today. This is all we need. That's a picnic lunch and we're set. Thank you all for coming. We'll try to put on a good show today. And here it comes. This is the executive director report, the highlight of every meeting. Mr. McGowan, you have things you'd like to tell us, Scott?
Highlight, low light, however you want to put that out there.
It's light, somewhere.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Welcome to the October monthly board meeting. I am pleased to be here this morning to provide an update on all things operational and organizationally for you this morning. As always, I'd like to start with the good news. Just this last weekend, Thursday through Monday, I had the opportunity to attend the National Interstate Council for State Boards of Cosmetology. There was an executive director's meeting on Friday, and then the conference was Saturday through Monday. It was an excellent meeting, particularly the executive director's meetings was it was a fantastic meeting. I've only been to two, but this year's was quite a bit better than last year's. And really, it was best practices and sharing and discussion about how to make, which was frankly, we spent a lot of time talking about reciprocity. And even though it's supposed to be designed to be a simple thing, there's a lot of states that are not as, well, frankly, progressive about reciprocity as Arizona. So there was just a lot of time spent discussing best practices and sharing of what works for us, sharing what drove licensure wait time down, all those types of things. There was also a discussion about threats to the industry and some of those types of things. So again, overall, very good. Moved into the conference Saturday through Sunday. A lot of great material provided by NIC. It was just overall, it was very good. As I shared last year, the NIC conference, the executive directors meeting and conference will be held here in Glendale. That is going to be actually 1 year from today when that starts. We are excited to host that, very excited about the location, and I'll continue to work with NIC over the next year for the hosting of that conference. As a side note, Brian McHugh was in attendance at the Nail School, as well as Gary was in attendance for his school. He was invited by NIC specifically to perform, or not perform, to conduct a presentation on Monday regarding all things laser. Unfortunately, I only got to see the first 10 minutes of Gary's presentation before I had to get to the airport. But what I did hear of his presentation, it was fantastic. And I've had people messaging me all week excited about, I think there may have been something mentioned about Gary offering tours of the school and signing people up to receive services and stuff like that. So again, as a guest of NIC, Gary was there for that presentation. Not so much good, well, it could be good news. The next item here is we did receive word, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, that it's our unofficial word that we will be getting the sunset audit process. The organization is scheduled to sunset July 1st of 2026, which means that a year and a half out, a little more than a year and a half out, they start the actual audit process. Of course, that brings up all kinds of nerves, all kinds of concerns, but I am cautiously optimistic that we are in significantly better position than we have been in the last couple of sunset audits. We believe we have just finished up the 24-month follow-up from the Barber audit that had occurred in 2020. So we have a foundation now of the policies and procedures. We have foundation of process. We can objectively speak to so many more things about the organization. That said, it's an auditor's job to find things. So I want to be clear that we're not going to come out of this with no audit findings. We're not going to come out of this with no audit recommendations, but we're going to do whatever we can to improve this organization as a result of this sunset audit. As soon as I have to say, I appreciate the Auditor General's office for giving us this unofficial warning, if you will, because I learned that as soon as they give us official notice, we only have 2 weeks to provide them the initial round of documentation. We've already, because they gave us unofficial notice, we've already been able to start collecting and gathering that information and placing it in files. And Kelly and her natural project management self has already put together a project plan for us and has really started driving this conversation for us internally. So more so an announcement, level setting where we are as an organization and really driving how we can move, how we can be better as a result of this sunset audit notification. Next up is our staffing update. As promised last month, we have posted all three of the current vacant investigator positions, one for Southern Arizona, one for Central and Southeastern Arizona, and one for Northern Arizona. Those were posted on October 3rd, and they will remain open until filled. With that said, we do have an initial round of interviews that will be occurring next week. But when you're filling three positions, it takes a bit of work. We're excited about that team expanding, but we also want to make sure that we have the right candidates in those positions because they are representing us physically in the industry in our licensed establishment. Additionally, our licensing specialist position was posted 9/24. Interviews, the first round of interviews were conducted 10/10 and 10/11. That candidate pool has been narrowed to two, and there, because they were both pretty darn good, both Jessica Wilson and myself will be performing second interviews on Monday, and then we'll hopefully make a determination from there. Finally, as I've mentioned, the customer, we do have officially two customer service representative positions vacant. However, they are currently filled by contractors, and we have to wait a certain period of, as part of that contract, we have to wait a certain period of time before we can actually officially make them employees. Otherwise, we have to pay a pretty significant premium to the contracting agency. Moving on to our financial update for September. In September, we had $265,000 in revenue and $166,000 in expenses. Our board fund balance began the year at $5,009 and ended September at $5,029,027. Through September of the fiscal year, which is 25% of the year, we are approximately 19% expended to our appropriation. Moving on to our testing data for our theory exams, we had 467 candidates test through the theory exam in the month of September with an average passing rate of 73%. In front of you is a hard copy of this presentation if you would like to look at the individual test result and the various languages, et cetera, on that sheet for you. Moving on to our written practical examinations, there were 375 candidates that tested in that written practical format with an average passing rate of 79%. And again, in your hard copy handouts, you can see the individual breakdown by test and language. I would also, for those board members that have joined us virtually, you will find, I have emailed you already this morning the hard copy of this presentation, so you have it. For our scheduled exams, we have 521 candidates that scheduled a test, a date to test from October 1st through December 30th. Of that, 245 of those are written practicals. 4 Cosmo, 2 Aesthetics, and 3 Barbers have registered to take the exam in Spanish. And finally, we have 276 candidates scheduled date to test between now and then. Obviously, I anticipate these numbers increasing pretty significantly over the next 4 to 6 weeks as we approach the fall graduation season. But I will tell you from a license issuance standpoint, it has been good to have 2 months in a row of just a little bit lower numbers to allow us to catch up on a few items. Last month, I did reference the instructor written practical exam going live on Monday, October 7th. I'm happy to share that that did in fact go live Monday, October 7th. So we should begin seeing results of the instructor written practical as part of next month's data report to the board. Additionally, I referenced that the hairstyling written practical exam would go live later in the month of October. That continues to be on track, but we are not, we meaning the testing company, is not providing a firm date on that yet, but it is as of Monday morning when I was with them in Salt Lake City at the conference. It is still on track for this month, and there doesn't seem to be any significant concerns about it going live at the end of the month. So we will no longer have any in the state of Arizona at this time. There will not be any more of the hands-on practical examinations anymore. Moving on to our licensing update. For the month of September, we had 293 new exam applications. Of that, 268 were approved with a 6 business day turnaround. And that number of incomplete applications is at 25. For our establishment applications, we had 224 received. Of that, 220 were approved and issued in a 9-day turnaround with only 4 incomplete. And on our reciprocity applications, we are at, we received, I should say, 180 applications, and of that, 159 were approved within a 1-day turnaround. Those, we do have 21 incomplete applications. Again, the caveat on reciprocity is we tend to have to wait on other states to provide us their certification that that individual is licensed in the other state. So we have done within our existing licensure process and the statute and rules, we have done everything to streamline that process as much as possible. And if you go back a year, you'll see our application number is down to as much as possible. I typically don't do this on licensing, but I want to give a little leadway, if you will, into the October numbers. The licensing team is absolutely knocking it out of the park. For the first two full weeks of the month of October, all three of these primary license functions are in a one-day turnaround at this time. It's been due to hard work primarily. It's been due to process change. It's been due to the team really having a desire to ensure that licensees are licensed in a timely manner in this state and really achieving that vision of the organization to provide quality and timely service to world-class customer care. So huge public shout out to Jessica and her licensing team for getting to that same day processing. That's the way it is right now. As we go into the graduation season, it's not going to be that way. But because of where we're at, I don't anticipate we're seeing us ever going over that 14-day mark, at least for now, unless something goes completely haywire and crazy. Next up is our eyelash extension registration. For the month of September, we approved 7 new board-approved training programs with a one-day turnaround. And we have issued through the month of September, there's a typo there, I apologize. Through the month of September, we had issued 156 licenses for that board-approved training program. For our eyelash establishments, there are 2 that were approved in the month of September, and through September 15 total have been issued since the launch of the program. And for individual eyelash technicians, we approved 87 in the month of September, with a total through the month of September at 1,348. Next up, our customer care update. Our call center handled 1,951 phone calls in the month of September with an average wait time of 6 minutes and 48 seconds, an average handle time of 9 minutes and 35 seconds, for a total of 16 minutes and 23 seconds. Again, what I don't usually do, but I'm going to do here because there has been such marked improvement on the team. Our numbers handled decreased from 2,291 in the month of August down to that 1,951. Our wait time went from 12 minutes and 15 seconds to 6 minutes and 48 seconds. And our handle time remained about the same. It decreased like 12 seconds or something like that, nothing significant. But our interaction time is down from 21 minutes and 57 seconds in the month of August down to 16. We know why. It's because our handled number is coming down. Our handled number is coming down because we're getting to the calls more efficiently. We've actually, for 2 full months in a row now, that team has been fully staffed, and we have been able to answer those calls more timely, as you can see from the wait and response time. And we have our abandon rate is also beginning to decrease as a result. So all very, very good things happening in the customer care team. Our email inbox, we received 1,217 emails that were all responded to within 24 business hours. I'm cautious about using that word business hours because it doesn't really mean business hours. By the true definition, what it means is if you email us, for example, on Thursday, you'll have a response on Friday. But if you email us on Friday, your response is going to be Monday. So it's kind of a weird calculation to come up with business hours, because also business hours insinuates 8 hours a day, not 24. So just again, it's basically next business day response time on our email inbox. And in a lot of cases, same day, but never more than next day. For our compliance team, we received 41 consumer complaints in the month of September, and of that, 41% were within our jurisdiction and assigned to an investigator. And in addition to that, 94 inspections were conducted with a 60% compliance rate. The inspections conducted number is down from prior months. We are down 2 investigators in the prior month. And unfortunately, we did have some illness that ran through that team that prevented them from being in the fields on several days during the month. So again, yes, it's down. Yes, we know why. And we can move forward based on that. In addition to that, 9 specific investigations were conducted. Our next meetings for the rest of this year, November 15th, 9 a.m. and December 13th. Again, we moved that meeting up 1 week because of the Christmas holiday in particular, and we would have been very close. That said, our location on that is still to be determined. We are actively working on location because there's been some booking issues here within this building. And so we're having to reach out and see if the other boards are in fact hosting their meetings on that date and some of those types of things. So working on location, and as soon as we know, I will let the board know. And with that, I turn it back to you, Mr. Chair, or if anybody has any questions.
Are there any questions? No, we got a great deal of information and it's all great. I'm happy to hear how well the staff is working and how the improvements continue. So we applaud you for your good work. All right. Well, next up, we have a review, discussion, possible action regarding the legislative subcommittee recommendations for the 2025 legislative session pursuant to ARS 32503.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm very happy to share that the legislative subcommittee did meet on Tuesday afternoon this week. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic meeting. The subject matter expertise in that meeting is fantastic. There was great conversation. And so I would like to start by giving my appreciation to the subcommittee meeting, starting with Marshall Knock, Brandon McFadden, Kathy Kalush, and Amy Beckman, who is not here this morning. Kathy Kalush is our chair and is here to present the committee recommendations to the full board.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I want to thank Frank for putting this together. I want to thank Brandon and Mr. Rock and just Susan Glover, should I get your last name right, and then Amy. They're the practitioners. I'm not a cosmetologist or a hairstylist. I really relied on their expertise in some of these questions. And then really have to thank Ms. Kelly Shepherd, because she knows these rules and these statutes and find it out and really have gone through what to find to. And she made it so easy for us as we went through this. So we got through this in about an hour and a half. So this was really what I believe was a little bit of cleanup from last year. A couple of these had been approved last year. They just did not get included in the bill that got passed. And then we just needed a few pieces of clarification. So I'm just going to highlight the 3 that I think are the most significant for you all. I'm sure it's in your packet. I hope you all had a chance to review it so you're kind of up to date on what it is. So one of the clarifications, so it is 32-501, and it was really about looking at the definition of the barber versus the hairstylist and what is the difference. And after we really relied on the expertise of our barbers in the room and then, of course, Amy, and there was some specific language put in that specifies that a barber uses a straight razor, and then of course the handling and the sanitation and infection control of that straight razor versus the hairstylist, where it is a feather razor or a razor that has a guard and then the handling of that. And so we got consensus on that, and that did pass. And so that new language will be included in the definition of each of the barber and the hairstylist. The next one is 32-505, and this was really about the board's composition. To be very clear, this isn't about changing or expanding or adding, keeping the board composition as it is, with 5 public members and 4 people from the industry. It's that in this specific one, now it reads that it is a cosmetologist. And we have a lot of estheticians, hairstylists, and nail tech that would like to be able to apply for that board seat. In the prior board competition, there were no seats available, but were removed. And so we had a really good discussion about that. And we we had consensus that we should expand that people that can apply for that particular board seat would include those different places as well. So that.
We also.
Oh, and GIT, educator.
Yes, the licensed instructor.
And the licensed educator. Yep, thank you for that. The last one was 32512-01. And this is really about the crossover hours, that if a barber who has been through barbering school wants to become a cosmetologist, what would be the appropriate number of hours? Barber program is 1,200, cosmetology is 1,500. The barbering program does cover both nails and skin in theory, also does skin in a practical, whereas in the cosmetologist, they obviously have theory and the practicality practice of the hair, skin, nail, and even makeup. And then obviously women's hair and all the women's haircuts and their color balayage and all those, you know, advanced color technique, that we have consensus about the 300 hours being the difference. There was a little bit of discussion that for a barber, I'm sorry, a cosmetologist that would want to then become a barber, that it was 200 hours. And so that tracks on that merit. So it'll be crossover for a barber to become a cosmetologist, 300 hours, and then a cosmetology to a barber, 200 hours. And so those are really the highlights of the meeting. If anybody from the committee would like to share anything, anybody have any questions?
I would just add as well, real quick, that I did email out Tuesday afternoon the committee approved the document so that everybody was able to have eyes on that before the meeting.
You know, I would just say, Frank, you know, you really need to approve on the one day turnaround. That's amazing. Under your leadership, the board over the last number of years has improved dramatically, and I might be able to be for the other schools. We really appreciate the customer service, that call time. It's really amazing. So we're very grateful for seeing you. Thank you to the board for all of you do for our industry. All right, that's thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a chance to read that too, and I thought it was really well done. All the changes made sense to me. Nothing to criticize. All good. So let's go for a board vote on that.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, what I specifically would be seeking here is the, you know, should the board choose to approve that recommendation, that they're approving that recommendation. And in order for me not to get in trouble, I do need specific direction from the board to pursue these changes within the legislative process. So I don't know. I think last year we wrapped that up into one vote. My preference this year, just based on some things that I've learned over the last year, I would prefer it to be two separate specific documented votes, just so that we can say that the board did in fact direct me in this board motion and vote on the date and time. Again, it just covers all of our bases. There's that wonky state employees can't lobby, but I have to push to have this done. So again, it's just providing that coverage for me to get that.
So but first, at approving the suggested changes, we have a motion regarding the adoption of these changes that were proposed to us.
I'm sorry, real quick too, before we move into that motion language, I did receive a message that Member Forrest has joined us virtually.
Oh, good.
We do have another member here.
All right, let's do it again.
Guzman will remove that we accept the legislative subcommittee recommendation for the 2025 legislative session packet language.
Goodman, second.
Marshall Knox.
Very nice. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Or do you want to roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. Is there anyone to dissent? All right. Unanimously, we accept the subcommittee's recommendations from our legislative work this year. Do we have a motion regarding instructing our executive director to pursue the development establishment of this?
Guzman Glover move that we direct our executive director, Frank McGalley, to approach the legislature with the bill language.
And second.
A motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any dissent? All right, unanimously, we instruct you to find a way to make this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, very good. That's exciting stuff. Makes everything smoother, easier to understand, fair. It's all the way it should be. All right, next up, review discussion possible action regarding the 2025 Barbering Cosmetology Board meeting schedule. Do we have any information there that we need to be looking at?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I at board request, we did put out a survey 2 weeks ago to all board members. Of that, we received the responses are we the seven responses that we received, I should say. We received 5 responses for a Friday, 2 responses for a Monday, with the caveat of one of those responses stating one response indicates that Mondays are best, but that the individual would be open to other days as well. You do have a printout copy of the survey result in front of you and the information that I provided. And with that, I would turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So has the board been able to review this survey? Any questions regarding the survey? All right. Well, it's important we look at these things. You know, we need to be considerate of everybody's time, and we need to look at, you know, ideas and change and adapt. But in this case, it appears that we've by majority decided that we're staying where we are for this time. So based on that, then I think it's important that we state our position. I'd like to get a motion to accept the responses of the survey and to leave it at this for now, and then we'll make it official.
Member Turrentine, I move that we accept the responses of the survey and keep the meeting days on Friday.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Okay.
All right. Second half. So a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
No, that's very reasonable. I mean, it's very reasonable. We have other ways to look at this. We just need to make it work for the majority. So for now, we'll leave it as it is. We can look at this again next year if there's some kind of service to be made. All right, so we're up to our complaint review and consent agenda. And it's 9:30, and what do we have here that's not time served?
We are good to get through consent agenda.
Beautiful.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1A recommend dismissals have been reviewed in court according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Do we have any questions from the board about any of the cases in step 1A? Do we have a motion regarding the cases in step 1A?
I'm Glover moves that we accept staff recommendation under step 1A for recommended dismissal.
And second.
Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, unanimously, we passed all of the cases in step 1A. Step 2.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed in step 1B recommend letters of concern have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
All right, any questions about any case step 1B? Motion regarding any cases step 1B?
I recommend we accept staff recommendation for the letter of concern step 1B.
Okay, back to motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, my lover, second.
Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously, we pass all the cases step 1B. Please.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1C recommend for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, then we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Good. Any board questions on anything at step 1C? Hearing none, motion for step 1C?
I move that we accept staff recommendation for the informal interview with negotiation, step 1C.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we accept that recommendation to all of that. Very nice, we're done. Tell us about section 8.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this morning we do have one case for a review, discussion, and possible action. The reciprocity barber applicant, licensing specialist Coleman, here to present.
All right, great. Wonderful. Good morning.
Good morning. Martha Spigley, member of the board. I am with Chief Coleman and I have a meeting for a universal application for Mr. Amir Ibrahimi. Mr. Ibrahimi had provided all required documents for complete universal application. After the review of his documentation, I have determined all documents presented are incomplete. I am here today to give going to grant or deny licensure for Mr. Ibrahim today. If you do have any further questions on the department permits, I'll be happy.
Does the board have any questions? All right, again, you said you reviewed this and you feel helpful. All right, well, you're my expert. So as far as I'm concerned, we're in good shape. Do we have a motion regarding this case?
I move that we accept the reciprocity barber applicant.
With that, I second it.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Unanimously, or not unanimously, it's in like majorities. We agree to accept this. Thank you very much. All right, next up, review, discussion, possible action on dismissal. What do we have here?
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, on case number 2024-00327, Brandy Gwen, license number 51000290, and case number 2024-00328, Pine Fam, license number 51000222. I would ask the board to rescind the previous motion to assess the civil penalty of $375 for each respondent and dismiss the case as the establishment resides in tribal land and the agency does not have jurisdiction over the establishment.
Yeah. Thank you very, very happy for it.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I do want to add some additional context to this. Is just by way of clarity, we learned that there's a certain town in which these two cases reside. This case resides within that we assume that it's there because it was a town, the town in the state of Arizona, that it was within our jurisdiction. We later found out it is in fact on tribal land. And therefore, we didn't find out until after the board had started moving the case through the consent agenda. We received additional legal advice on it. And that's the reason this morning for the dismissal for you. Yes.
All right. How about that? That's what we thought we were. All right. Do we have a motion regarding this case?
Ms. Montlocker moves that we recommend dismissal. Do we have to rescind previously? Yes. Rescind what we did. So rescind the consent agenda options.
What was the previous motion?
For 300.
Who was that? Was it a penalty?
Okay. 300. So rescind. Should we do it as two separate motions? Or one?
I think you can do it.
Okay. So rescind the previous motions for civil penalty under 2024-00327 and 2024-00328 and instead dismiss those two cases.
Thank you.
Goodman second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Yeah, I feel like we just got spanked. All right, let's go to that. Sometimes you need a spanking.
I I will add that it is regulated by the tribe. So there is oversight. It's not that there's no oversight. It's not our oversight. Just to provide that additional clarity.
All right. The next case.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, on case number 2024-00330, Lauren Classic Barbershop, license number BBE-001736, and Lauren Page, license number BAR-002530, owner. I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to assess the civil penalty of $250 and dismiss the case as the barbershop is in tribal land. However, you know, they do have a license, but they let it lapse. And it's been left for over, I believe, 3 or 4 years. So it's considered unlicensed at this point.
It's on the tribal land.
Yes. And we do not have jurisdiction. Yes.
Ouch. Well, somebody have a motion to accept, because this is one we just received.
Guzman Glover moved that we rescind our previous consent for civil penalty of $2,500 in case 2024-00330 and instead dismiss the case.
Goodman second.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Well, appreciate learning our lesson. Move on to something more positive. Whatever that maybe anything would be.
The item C, Mr. Chavez is going to present that case.
Ms. Chavez, how are you today? You look magical in your green. Do you swear the testimony? Do you swear or affirm the testimony yet today will be truthful? And state your name. Beautifully done.
Good morning, Chairman Begley and members of the board. Emily Fischel. On March 15, 2024, the respondent attended the formal interview to discuss her case. During the first inspection, I found the following violations. Establishment license being expired, two personal licenses expired, no wet disinfection set, and two out of three shampoo bowl orders. The board moved to issue a disciplinary letter of concern with the probationary period was a random inspection to be conducted. March 26, 2024, is a disciplinary letter of concern was mailed out. On August 28th, I went to the establishment and conducted a board order re-inspection and found the following violation during the inspection. Expired establishment license NCOS 31318 for Bond Duty Bar expired on March 17, 2024. One of the same violations found during the first inspection. The probationary period ended on September 26, 2024. The respondent approached me about the establishment license. I explained to her that it had expired. Again, that is when the respondent realized the license had expired. All of the other violations, personal license sanitation, were explained during the reinspection. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay, so what happened on the license after you told her?
She renewed it. It was just after the fact she didn't realize. That once she paid it, she didn't look at the renewal date, the actual renewal date. And from that point,
it was shorter than her year that she was thinking, or?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. She's having a bad day. Okay. So, I mean, what are we looking for here? What is your recommendation?
$150 for an inactive establishment license and then a refund.
Okay, so that's the only thing we're looking for. That's it. So no other issues.
No, she was in compliance with the annotation and
she's making progress.
She is. Yeah.
Okay. The board have any questions? Okay. Does the board have a recommendation? Motion regarding this matter?
I recommend that we move off our consent agreement for the 150 civil penalty. If not, fine goes on 30 days and 12 months probation.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Do we have any dissent?
Nay.
Right. Nay. Two. Okay, by majority, then we agree to the 150 bill. All right, thank you, Ben.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, this does bring us to the informal interview section, which is time to begin at 10 a.m., which is 10 minutes from now. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to take a 10-minute recess and come back and roll through the rest of the pages.
That's a lovely idea. So let's go into recess now, and you may feel free to move about scavenging. Move about recess.
All right, let's try this again for those on virtually. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Yes, we can.
All right. So for our record, what board members are on the phone?
Marshall Knox.
Thank you. Well, Marshall, glad you're there. So Chase, are you there?
Yep, member Turnhand's here.
Well, in that case, Randy, are you there? Well, we did pull out 3. Take it. All right. So up to our first case. Our first case is case number 2024-00626, Heritage Barber Institute, BBC 000069, Alma Vasquez. License BARI-004282. Anyone here for that case? Oh, hello, live people. How nice. You swear from the testimony, you gave the truth and the whole truth?
Yes.
And then state your name? Beautiful. Please have a seat. Relax. Ms. Chavez will explain the case to us. I will ask questions of her. Then we'll come back to you, ask questions of you. All right. So would you please review the case with
me? Good morning, Board Chairman Begley and members of the board. On May 16th, 2024, I conducted an inspection of Heritage Barber Institute in Phoenix, Arizona, which resulted in an unsatisfactory grade. I spoke with the owner, Alma Vasquez, when she was at the school. I set the school at 25. I first observed no licensed instructor present, with students clocking in and receiving hours. The owner, Alma Vasquez, had a friend unlock the school door so the students could enter. About 20 minutes later, the students started to take paying clients without the instructor present. The students working and clocking in without the instructor present didn't seem to be alarmed that the instructor wasn't there. It had appeared to me that this was a regular practice at the school. The instructor walked into the school at 11:20. There were 8 students clocked in and unsupervised, and some of the students had clients in their chairs providing haircut service. Victor Almaraz, I'm going to give you a list of the students. Victor Almaraz at 10 a.m., Alvaro Martinez, 10:03 a.m., Alma Valenzuela, 10:25 a.m., Ido Ariola, 10:40, Ferris Rodriguez at 11:08, Jesus Valencia, 11:08. Name Silverio, 11:13, and Sharon Olivares at 11:20. For the students to be able to earn hours and like a licensed instructor has to be there to supervise students, as well as supervise the students while providing service. The barber school license, barber instructor license, the student files were in compliance, and there were no sanitation violations. I provided the owner of Alma Vasquez with an inspection report and educated her before leaving. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Wonderful. Board have any questions? I was looking to that. Would you like to hear?
What are the recommended?
Yeah, well, we're from the other side of it. So you had an opportunity to review this complaint. Do you have any information you'd like to give us related to this complaint?
What we can achieve is to.
Did you understand the law, the requirement for having an instructor present?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to tell us anything about why you did it a different way?
On the day of, I had a bunch of appointments and I have had a friend called friendship person to come in. I however didn't tell them to serve the clients. Like usually what we do, like I arrive a little bit late one time, like somebody open and they come in and I come in right after. On that day, I was at a doctor's appointment, so it took longer than expected, but I was under the impression that when we do book work or theory plan, since we've done it before remotely, when I'm not actually there with the student, when they move in like an assignment at home or something like that, and they were receiving our back when we were closed for COVID, and that I thought that was okay. But as we just said, she informed me that it's not supposed to be like that. So I'm worried.
Okay. All right. Well, stuff happens.
All right. This is Goodman. What's happened in the last 5 months? This is 5 months ago. So has this type of event happened again?
No. I learned that the students are not supposed to receive hours without the instructor present. So if I have to leave or if I'm not gonna be there, we close.
Because you were the only instructor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any additional questions? Okay. Any additional information you want to provide?
Well.
Yeah, you're pretty well told the story.
Sorry.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll go into deliberate.
How long has the school been open?
Okay, so let's, we'll be in deliberation, so we'll talk about it. See? So does the board have any thoughts about this? Anything that we should talk about that doesn't seem obvious?
So the way I understand it is we had 8 individuals with no license providing services because they were allowed to do that by their schools. But it seems like a really big deal to me, but you guys understand the industry better, so.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. Big deal.
I would think you might know that when you opened.
It seems like, yeah, part of the rules of running a school would be, you'd know that.
Yeah. I've gotten away. All right. So then based on that, do we have a motion for some resolution to this particular case?
Well, I would make a motion that we adopt the finding of fact and conclusions as well.
Okay.
A second.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. So we unanimously agree this happened. Do we have a motion for an order of discipline in this matter?
Is there any previous history?
No previous history.
There's not one. If there's not a specific one, it just says civil penalty.
Yeah.
It's only $500.
Okay.
Is there any history?
No.
5 years right now. Thanks to them. Okay. No previous history, but this event did happen, and obviously it's a violation of law. So, what do you want to do?
Well, one of the eight showed up when she did. So that one would be hard to say that that individual was acting without direction, because it's almost like they carpooled. They both showed at 11:20. But when we're talking about $500, it's 500 times seven, right? Is the, because there's seven students here. So seven violations.
If I understand that we can't pay more than 2,000.
Okay, so good news is that 2,000 is a discount compared to 3,500.
Just more to come.
Through this time, it was with the information that we had, the barber fine at that time were up to $500.
Wow.
They can have 500.
Yeah, when this violation occurred, the statute was no more than $500 on the barber side.
Per violation or?
It goes in total.
Oh, wow.
That changed September 14th, and now it's all $2,000, but this violation occurred prior.
Okay, so the expense of this infraction just keeps going down. Yeah, we ought to stay for a couple more minutes and see if we can get it down to $2.
You'd like
that. Yeah, I mean, clearly she now knows how big of a deal this was, but I would move that we assess a civil penalty of $500 to be in line with the law and move on from there.
Second, Marshall Knox.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? I unanimously agree. It's bad, but it's fortunate in today's world, but it would be different.
Gary. Quick question with that in there, Nick, as far as on the penalty, are we able to do probation with inspections? Or
we could have. Well, we didn't put in a motion.
Well, we can make another motion, right? We don't have to be final.
You could rescind that motion and put that and tie the two together.
You could make a motion to add.
Yeah.
A motion. All right.
I mean, Marshall, it sounds like Mr. Knox sounds like you have some ideas there, maybe.
Would you like to make a motion about that, Marshall?
Yes, I make the motion. I was trying to pull up the case number at the same. I'm trying to work from the laptop here. I don't have the case number in front of me. What is this? Case number
240626.
Okay. Okay. So in case number 2024-00626 Heritage Barber Institute, I recommend we issue a $500 civil penalty with I forget, what is it? Is it 6 month or year probation?
With a
12 month probation, and also reinspection of the school within the next, what do we usually, I'm trying to keep everything on the standards, is 60 or 90 days we usually do.
90.
Within the next 90 days to be reinspected.
Yep. Second.
Second.
Motion second.
Real quick. Since we already passed the motion for the $500.
Yeah, there's only one fine.
Yeah. And
yeah, we don't want to be too fine.
Just want to make sure there's only one here, but yeah.
Right.
I think the motion is just to add to the
probation
motion a reinspection within 90 days.
I believe that's true too. Is that what you're seconding?
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, in the end, because of many, many good things are good for you. There's a $500 fine, which is a bad thing, but not like $3,500. So it's much, much better. The probation means we're going to come back and check on you and make sure you're still behaving. Okay?
Deputy Director Shepherd, if I may, as a point of clarification for everyone in the room, but ma'am, especially for you, when a licensed instructor is not present, those student hours do not count for the student.
really hurting the student. And I would like to say for every licensee in the room, you are accountable to the rules and the statute, all of them, which are on our website. If you'd like to read through them, I highly encourage you to do that.
Thank you for coming, Chair. You'll get a letter regarding it to clarify, but I think you understand.
Yes.
Thank you.